WFXX. Once again,
the Fox. Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
The aspirations, and I knew they were crazy then, but also knew that every once in a while, something crazy happens to people that have crazy dreams.
And we're off and running here on a thrilling Thursday edition of Let's Talk, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and yep, you could be part of the big show today. All you need to do is give a little ringy-dingy.
Ring our bell.
On that there telephone, 814-954-7266 is what will get you into the big program today. Center gives in its second and final day, opportunity to give to local nonprofits and stretch those dollars a bit. Wonderful nonprofits across the board. I'll put in a little plug once again. I was over at my wife's foundation yesterday. They have a wonderful new facility that is, I would dare say, a little different than most of the businesses that you enter. There's just a lot of joy when you go into that office and look around at the colors, the artwork, the different projects. The Jana Marie Foundation works with young people, more so middle school, high school kids, but they'll do some programs for elementary kids and will go right up through college. They do a lot of trainings. They provide all of the things they do, and there are a lot of things they do for free. Well, the only way they can do that is with the generous support of the community. I will say we have had a lot of talk, State College, school district, but other districts as well. Boy, mental health is really important. We've got to emphasize mental health. Well, if you feel that way, what you need to do is kind of back that up with your dollars. Put your money where your mouth is. If you're saying this stuff is important, and I'm just telling you, I've seen firsthand. I've read the notes written by young people to my wife and to some of the other staff members there about, boy, you guys, you don't even understand how big of an impact you made on my life. And yep, there have been a couple of letters there saying, you guys, with what you have done, saved my life. I was in a really dark place, really not sure I wanted to go on, and because of the assistance we got and some of the programs and all of that. So it is a big deal. Again, lots of wonderful organizations, but I'm just telling you that the impact that the Jana Marie Foundation is making locally is significant. And if you truly feel mental health is important and is something that we need to be addressing, and there's other mental health organizations as well, but I would really encourage you to back that up and give young folks in particular the opportunity to make those connections and to find a place where they feel comfortable and where they can truly grow. And there is a video at the Jana Marie Foundation's website that you may want to check out if if you know our family at all. You may recognize the little fellow on the video that they posted yesterday talking about some of the programs and the Jana Marie Foundation summer camp, which will be coming up here Our kiddo did a great job with it. It's a great production. And thank you to everybody who put that together. A couple of reminders also about the Jana Marie Foundation. The annual Jam Fest event will be held along Fraser Street, excuse me, between College and Beaver on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday between noon and 5. Just show up. There are all kinds of free activities for adults as well, but especially if you have kiddos really of any age. There's some really neat things they can do. There will be food down there, fantastic live music. It really is just about making connections. You don't have to be suffering from mental health issues. It's wonderful. If you're in a good place right now, fantastic. Come on down. Check it out. It is open and available to everybody. If you want to learn a little bit more about the foundation, this is a wonderful opportunity to do that. But if you just want to come down and enjoy some great music, food, and check out some of the activities and games that you can play, that would be perfectly fine as well. Again, that'll be noon to 5 on Saturday. And then Monday night, they have their comedy night.
Comedy night?
Yes. Okay. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is that we all, right, hopefully, at some point in our life, we are experiencing some different emotions, right? Very few of us get through this this life without getting so mad at something. And very few of us, hopefully none of us, get through this life without, oh, man, that is hilarious. Dude, that is, oh, man, that is great. Hopefully, we all get that opportunity as well. Hopefully, you know, the old Paul Harvey, My Wish, I forget who initially put that together, but where you're wishing your kid, man, you're okay if you try smoking or drinking, but hopefully you don't like it. Hopefully you recognize that if a friend of yours is offering you drugs, it's not really a friend. Hopefully you do skin your knee. Hopefully you go out in the world and make something of yourself. I'm very much paraphrasing, but it's a wonderful piece, My Wish, by Paul Harvey. And that is, you want people to, because going through some tough times is what allows you to appreciate the good times. It's like, oh man, I worked through that, and now we're in a better place. So this is an opportunity to come out and enjoy some laughter and camaraderie. And again, that'll be coming up on Monday night. The program is called A Good Laugh. This will run from 6 to 9 p.m. on Monday. While a lot of their events are targeted toward kiddos, some of the fundraising is targeted toward adults. This is a 21 and over show. This will be at Axeman Brewery there on Axeman Road in Bellefonte. Again, 6 to 9 coming up this Monday. Tommy LaMotta will be the comedian. Terrific. Very, very funny. There will also be music provided by Eric Ian Farmer, who I suspect most of you know. If you don't, just an amazing musician. Free Range will also provide music. There will be terrific food provided by Cisco. Again, it's just going to be a good time. Join us for laughs, make some connections, and help make a difference in the lives of our young folks in the area. You can get all of the details by going to the Jana Marie Foundation's website. It's janamariefoundation.org, and check out the events calendar. Again, A Good Laugh will be coming up on Monday from 6 to 9 p.m. at Axeman Brewery in Bellefonte. And I will have the good fortune of emceeing that particular event.
Comedy night, huh?
Yeah, comedy night. It'll be fun.
See, I thought comedy night is when you're watching the Pirates or I'm watching my Orioles. All right, that would be that would be comedy night so far. Oh yeah, the sports segment. That's the next segment. I'm sorry.
Sad comedy.
Sad comedy night. Yes. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Senator Gibbs, folks, they have 12 hours left. Goes till 8 o'clock tonight, so if you somehow missed this yesterday, they've got you covered. They are just short of $2 million right now, which with 12 hours to go, that's pretty good.
And they're working toward 10,000 individual gifts, individual donations.
They're only 300 short of that.
Yeah. Yeah,
folks, you've been responding. That's great. That's fantastic. I expect they'll have some promotions, surprises, energy, whatever today. For those of you though on X or Twitter, all right, I post on that for us. By the way, Let's Talk 987 Fox. Let's Talk 987 Fox. We'd love to have you follow us. Most days I put up like a top three interesting notes for today, that sort of thing. Usually do it in the afternoons. Yesterday I just mentioned maybe $3 million for these folks this year. They're right there, I'd say. After 24 hours, they've got $2 million. They've got another 12 hours to go. Can they tack on another million? And again, a reminder, folks, this money stays here. Okay, it's not going to some far-off place. Now, granted, again, if you go to the website, centergives.org, there's over 200 different groups, 200 different nonprofit groups on there. It's like, I made a donation yesterday. I'm scanning the list. I'm like, holy fright.
It's amazing.
Belfont, Penns Valley, State College, I mean, everywhere. I mean, just nonprofits, big, small, doesn't matter. But if you are able and you're able to make a contribution, again, this is money that stays here.
Yep.
It's not going to, you know, another continent or some other part of America, right here. All right? And if there was a selling point number on at the top of the list, there it is. Money stays here, helping local folks or at least regional folks. All right? So hopefully you do that. If online is not your thing, all right, you don't want to go online and stuff. You want to deal with a live person. They have a phone service. You can call them. Call them right now if you want. 814-237-6229. You got to put the area code. 814-237-6229. And you'll get a live person, and they'll help you take your information, you know, which group you want to support, blah, 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 all that stuff. Selfishly, very selfishly, folks, if you use the phone number, just say, yeah, the 98.7 The Fox guys told me to call. All right, what the heck? Just for fun. All right, just for fun. It's selfish.
Do it.
So I don't know. They're going to pass the 2 million mark here, I would say, shortly.
Yeah.
So we got to watch out for that. So anyway. All right, we got a busy show. Our second hour is going to be open line. We will have a guest later this hour. If you're a regular listener, this is someone we had on about 6 weeks ago.
And if you're an irregular listener, we've never talked to this person and know nothing about them.
Well, if you're an irregular listener, oh, no, I'm not going to go there.
Oh, boy.
No, not in the morning, folks. You're having breakfast. I'm not going to mess it up.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
There is an historic barn down near Rock Springs, which is in danger. The danger is, this is a 200-year-old barn. So we're talking an historic barn. It's marked, over 200 years old. And right now it's on Penn State ground. Penn State bought the ground, and apparently, allegedly, they want to get rid of the barn. All right, the barn's been in some disrepair, from, you know, recent years and so on, and some people want to save the barn. One of those is going to be our guest, going to join us here in about a half an hour, Vicki Kepler-Dodato. We had Vicki on about 6 weeks ago talking about this historic barn, how to save it, the story behind it, and so on. And we're going to get an update from Vicki on how things are going, and I'll give you a hint, not well. All right, Penn State has thrown down a deadline, of what I would call a ridiculous amount of money to save the barn. And I know from some other information that Vicki and her group are nowhere near the total. So we're going to get an update from Vicki in about a half an hour or so, and then we'll have some open line time again coming up in our second hour. And boy, is there things to talk about. Holy fright.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Where should we start here for a few minutes, all right? How about this one? We did, what was this, 2 days ago? I did a little blurb about popular baby names. All right, like brand new babies and so on. And for whatever reason, in recent times, the same names keep rising to the top. So allegedly, now this would be last year, according to the Social Security Administration. Last year, the most popular boy's name for the whole country, okay? Most popular boy's name was Liam, and the most popular girl's name was Olivia. And apparently, it's been that way 6 years running.
Amazing.
Which, that is amazing.
It really is.
All right, because the creativity of parents in recent times, you would think that, you'd have some deviation. Nope. And the number two name for each has been the same for the last several years now. Noah for boys and Emma for girls. Okay. Well, NPR just did a story the other day. Apparently there is a name rising up the charts, all right? And if I've seen this name before, I've forgotten. The name is Oakley.
Here comes Oakley!
Oakley!
Down the stretch!
Now, let's have some fun with our friend the Ironhead. How do you spell Oakley?
How do I spell Oakley?
Okay, go ahead.
I would spell it O-A-K-L-E-Y.
Okay.
As a name.
That's one way.
Yeah.
See, once again, that's the other creativity thing. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways to spell names now.
Oh, yes.
All right. I mean, Michael. There's several different ways to spell Michael.
This
Ashley. There's a bunch of different ways to spell Ashley. Oakley. O-A-K-L-E-E. Oakley. O-A-K-L-E-I-G-H.
Mm.
And I'm sure there's some other ones in there.
Mm.
Apparently, this is normally a girl's name. Doesn't have to be. But apparently, something to do with oak. All right? And according to the story, apparently this is a big deal in Utah. All right? Now, the Mormon church is based in Utah. I don't know, for some reason, if you're Mormon, you need to have a name with oak in it. It could be Oakley. It could be Oakland. All right? Not Oakland. That's a town. Oakland. Some other oaks. For some reason, the name, something connected with oak has become very popular. And the story tries to speculate, and it's interesting, they quote an expert in this story, and the expert's name is Dallin Oaks. Like,
okay.
When I saw that, I'm like, okay, is this a gag? Is this a gag story? No, this is on NPR. I'm like, okay, it's not a gag story. So, I don't know, be on the lookout for some name or names that somehow are connected with oaks, like a tree, oak. I don't know. It's got something to do with a tree. So now, if your name is Oakley or Oakland or Oak something else, and you want to call in later and tell us, about your name, okay, that would be perfectly fine. We'd love to hear from you. There we go. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Uh-oh. We've got a problem here. Now, my friend the Ironhead here, that might be somebody named Oak.
Well, you never know.
All right. My friend the Ironhead is the coffee drinker. I'm not. But we have a coffee story. But let's go.
I only drink the frou-frou stuff.
Okay.
Let the record clearly show.
That's what I'm afraid of, yeah.
Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, guys. I love the name game. I love my red bone coonhound. He's probably my best friend in the world next to you, Jeff. His name is Fido, Phydeaux.
Whoa, how's that pronounced?
Have a good day, guys.
How's that pronounced?
I love it. Fido.
Philo.
Fido.
Okay. See, again, creativity?
No, right. Fido is just the, he's having fun with
very, very interesting.
Common dog name.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if there are kids out there named that right now, because, I don't know.
Fido?
People
that
need,
would be...
People need to be creative.
That's borderline anyway. Cruel. Don't name your
All
kid
right, yeah,
Fido.
You. He's got his medicated drink.
I do. It's going down very smoothly.
Okay, don't spill
morning.
It on the mixing board, all right?
Well, no promises.
Blow up the stage.
It is me.
Then we'd have to go out and get a real job, so holy moly. All right, now, I don't...
That's pretty good incentive not to do it.
There we go. All right. I don't go to Starbucks. I'm not a coffee drinker. And I don't know if this is happening here, like where we are, but maybe it is. All right. Apparently, some Starbucks baristas are going on strike this week. All right. Says here, I've got a story from Associated Press. More than 1,000 baristas have gone on strike with Starbucks. Now, what's the issue? Is it money?
What could it be?
No.
Oh.
Is it frou-frou drink?
Oh, it's
no.
No,
it's not that either.
Frou-frou drinks either.
Apparently, Starbucks has a new dress code.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't go to Starbucks, but I've been in a Starbucks, okay? We probably all have at some point. And I know they have that green apron. All right, they get the big green apron. I guess if you work there, you're a barista, whatever, you have to wear the green apron. The question is, what are you wearing under the green apron? All right.
Hey, now.
In other words, can you wear any whatever you want? You can wear whatever clothes you want under the green apron. And apparently the answer is no.
What?
No. Okay. So starting, I guess, on Monday this week, Starbucks has put some limits on what the baristas can wear under the apron. In other words, their regular clothes.
Okay. Don't even start to tell me that my silk panties are no longer permitted.
Well, we're not going...
Don't even start with me.
We're not going down that far.
They make me feel so comfortable in the morning.
Oh.
Huh? Was that out loud?
I'm getting a really nasty
Iron
mental
head.
Image. We're back to being...
Private thoughts.
Back to
Private
the,
thoughts.
Back to the irregular stuff.
Oh,
like,
boy.
This is really bad. Apparently, the new dress code at Starbucks says if you're going to work there, you got to wear the green apron. But you also have to wear a solid black shirt. So you have to wear a black shirt. And you have to wear either black khaki or blue denim pants. You know, the lower part. Now, I'm assuming blue denim means like jeans. So, but it has to be either black, blue, or khaki. All right? Now, the previous dress code apparently was much more wide open. Okay. Why is Starbucks doing this? Well, according to the AP story, they want their green aprons to stand out more because they are very, you know.
Well, sure. You get a fancy, nice apron like that. You want it to be showcased.
Okay, it's a plain.
I mean, come on.
It's a plain green apron.
What?
All right.
How dare you?
Come on. You've been to a Starbucks
How
at least
dare
once.
You?
Okay. But apparently, there is a union now that represents baristas, and they are objecting to this new dress code. And so it says here, according to the story, there are 75 Starbucks stores across the country where the baristas are now striking this week because they don't like the more stringent dress code. They think that they should be able to wear, I don't know, maybe wear whatever they want, maybe within reason, but not plain black and then plain pants. All right, I should be able to wear a more colorful shirt or something like that. Now, we'll take a break in a moment. If somebody knows if local Starbucks, you know, they're striking, if they're part of this gig, we'd be curious to know. Again, once again, one of our favorite lines, it's interesting what causes a controversy. I don't like black shirts and black pants. I want to be more colorful. Daggone it, Starbucks, knock it off. That's essentially what these folks are saying. Now, I don't know. When you get your spiffy drink, do they have uniforms or something? I don't know that either. Do they?
They do.
They have a uniform or just an apron? Starbucks.
It's a uniform.
It's a uniform? Okay.
I think. Maybe not.
I'm trying to.
I don't know.
I assume they all wear aprons.
I'm not that observant.
So, okay. You're too busy drinking your drink.
I am so excited
about it. All right. We're going
to
take a break. Again, if somebody knows, I'm simply curious. Is some local Starbucks striking because of clothing? Are there bigger problems out there? Yeah, but okay.
Are there?
You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. How about some sports controversy? Yeah, we have some of that too. We'll come back with more of the show right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Ooh, the three-day party weekend is just around the corner. It is the final day of Center Gives, centergives.org. You can give to your favorite charities or nonprofits and have that dollar go further throughout the course of the campaign. It'll wrap up at 8 o'clock tonight. And again, we encourage you, if you are able, to go online today, centergives.org, and support the nonprofits that are doing such great work throughout our community. All right, lots to get to here in the world of sports. Penn State baseball will be hosting Xavier for the final series of the regular season here in 2025. The series will get underway this evening, 5:30 first pitch at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park. Now, the two teams will head to Harrisburg tomorrow and will play the middle game of the series at FNB Field, which is, of course, the home of the Harrisburg Senators. That'll be a 6 o'clock start tomorrow. And then the Senior Day festivities will be held on Saturday at Medlar Field at Lebrano Park. First pitch will be at 1 o'clock. Penn State is 29-21 on the season. Xavier comes in with a record of 30-23.
the pre-seeds for the Senior World Team Freestyle Wrestling Trials have been released, and the action will get underway tomorrow. Recent Penn State grad Bo Bartlett is the sixth seed at 65 kilos. Incoming Penn State freshman Marcus Blaze is the eighth seed at that weight. At 70 kilos, Penn State recruit P.J. Duke is the 2 seed. Penn State senior-to-be Levi Haynes is the top seed at 79 kilos. And Nittany Lion Wrestling Club member Kyle Dake is the top seed at 86 kilos. Carter Starachi, who just won his unprecedented 5th national title for Penn State, is the 3 seed at 86 kilos. Penn State's Josh Barr, who was the NCAA runner-up as a redshirt freshman this past March, is the number 1 seed at 92 kilos. The trials will get underway tomorrow and will conclude on Saturday in Louisville, Kentucky. District 6 track and field championships. Action was supposed to get underway Tuesday and wrap up yesterday. Instead, the action got underway yesterday and will wrap up tomorrow. Let's just go through. We'll go through by event from yesterday with the Center County athletes. In the girls 1600, this is AAA, girls AAA 1600, it was Evie Yunkin of State College taking third, and teammate Devyani Wadia of State High taking fourth. In the pole vault, Belfont's Victoria Schellenberg wins the title, with State High's Stella Roos taking second in the event. Also, Claire Baker of State College took fifth in the pole vault yesterday. Also, in the... I just lost my place. Shot put. It was Lydia Tate finishing as the runner-up for State College. Alyssa Lipsky was fourth, and Belfont's Madison Miller was fifth. Lipsky also from State High. Also in the triple jump, State College's San Abdullah won the title. Isabel Second of State College was second in that event. Also yesterday, in the boys AAA 1600, Isaac Opperman of State College finished as the runner-up. Also, in the shot put, it was State College's Andrew Pack Bliznick taking the championship, winning the title. It was C.J. Clemens of State College taking third in that event. Back to the 1600, Owen Coughlin of State High was also third, and Luke Bradbury fourth. So State College finished 2-3-4 in the finals of the boys 1600 yesterday. In the triple jump, Zane Hummel of Belfont was the runner-up in the action yesterday. Also, State College's Jesse Myers won the prelim, his prelim, at 100 meters and advances to the finals. Landon Bassett was the runner-up in the prelims yesterday. Also, in the double-A action from yesterday, it was... Let's see, from Center County, we had Baldy Galeria's Grace Cristotti finishing 8th in the discus. Also, in the high jump yesterday, no, we didn't have anybody from Center County. Sorry, if I'm going through here.
There's a lot of results.
I thought I highlighted everything I needed to. I highlighted couple of extra things here for no apparent reason.
Oops.
I think I just, my apologies. All right. So, let's see. In the, do we have anything else down here? Yeah, I messed this up on the old cut and paste. Let me just double check on the boys' side here, because I did not do this the way I thought I had done this. Caden Gates of Baldy Galeria took fourth in the high jump. yesterday. Noah Patel of Penns Valley was eighth in the high jump. And, yeah, boy, I did mess this up. Sorry about that.
It's too many results.
I thought, well, no, I thought I had made it very easy for myself to read, and I think I know what I did. But anyways, Kyle Liberti of Bald Eagle Area was fifth in the pole vault yesterday as well. Again, action will conclude today in Altoona with the District 6 Track and Field Championships. Congratulations to all of those who competed yesterday, and best of luck to all of those competing today. Also yesterday, the fourth grade track and field meet,
they did it,
was held.
Okay.
With the all of the State College elementary schools competing. Now, Coral Street was an interesting situation.
Oh.
Because what Coral Street had was also their band, course, ensemble performance.
That's cool.
Last night.
Oh.
Immediately after.
Oh.
the track and field.
Oh,
so,
boy.
You know, the one thing you wouldn't want to do is be like in the last event, because that was that didn't go off until like 6:40, and then be in the first performance in the choir over at Coral Street, which is what, you know, the Mad Turtle
just happened to
do.
I smell something.
Okay. However, the Mad Turtle, you'll be glad to know, and if anybody wants to call in with other results, it was a lot of fun to watch. And kudos to everybody that helps put that thing together. The Mad Turtle ate, and I'm pretty sure this is what the Olympians, when you watch the track and field at the Olympics, I'm pretty sure most of those sprinters, distance runners, discus throwers, they all, right before their competition, like about 15 minutes before you're ready to go out and compete, most of them, I'm pretty sure, they wolf down a bag of M&Ms and a hot dog.
Oh.
Don't they? Hey, that's the deal of chicken. Well, it worked. The Mad Turtle was part of the winning 4x100 relay team yesterday.
Cool.
And then he also ran a couple of other events.
All right.
is what
there
happened.
Go.
But a good time had by all. And a terrific performance by the Coral Street Choir, band, and orchestra last night. It was a lot of fun, but a busy, busy day. Again, track and field championships for District 6 continuing today. Also today, the Phyllis Burgos Eula softball team will open up District 6 tournament action, weather permitting. The Lady Mounties are the 9 seed and will play at 8th-seeded Huntingdon. First pitch is scheduled for 4 o'clock this afternoon. The winner of that game will face top-seeded Forest Hills on Monday. We will have some coverage of the District 6 baseball and softball playoffs next week. We're working to finalize how we're going to handle a couple of things, and we'll get that out to you tomorrow morning. I'll have the schedule of exactly what we are covering next week here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And again, we'll run down that schedule tomorrow. Penn State men's basketball team will be taking on Providence in the 2025 Hall of Fame Showcase. That game will be on November 22nd at Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. It was announced yesterday. Penn State against Providence will be part of a doubleheader. The other part of that doubleheader will be Boston University against Harvard. Broadcast information and the exact times and all of that information will be made available at a later date. Tickets for the 2025 Basketball Hall of Fame Showcase will be going on sale on Friday, September 5th. So mark your calendar. Friday, September 5th, they will go on sale via Ticketmaster, and will also go on sale at the Mohegan Sun Arena box office starting on Saturday, September 6th. This will be the fourth all-time meeting between Penn State and Providence. The Nittany Lions, of course, lead the series 2-1.
That's it. 3 games. Okay.
Well, yeah. Pittsburgh Pirates last night took the final game of their series against the Mets in New York. What? They drove in runs? Yep, 2 2-run homers. Matt Gorski and Jared Triolo both belted 2-run homers. And yes, the Pirates pitching staff got together like, guys, we can't win unless we shut out the opponents. So they're like, all right, let's shut these guys out then. And they did. And the Pirates did win. And hey, hey, hey! Pittsburgh is 500 under interim manager Don Kelly.
See?
We celebrate 500, see? You
yes.
see, in Pittsburgh.
There we go. Yeah.
The Pirates have today off before opening a big 3-game series against the Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow. The Phillies split a pair of games with the Cardinals yesterday. Philadelphia winning the first game 2-1. But the Redbirds came back to take the second game 14-7. Bryson Stott and Bryce Harper had the RBI for Philadelphia in the Game 1 victory. Jesus Luzardo got the victory for the Phils. Phils jumped out to a 5-1 lead then in Game 2, but the Cardinals pulled away with 5 runs over the final 2 innings to put the game away and pick up the victory. Philadelphia now 2.5 games behind the New York Mets in the National League East, heading into that big series with Pittsburgh. Philadelphia also has an off day before opening up that series. Of course, you can listen for all of the action of the Pirates versus the Phillies right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Penn State men's lacrosse, of course, gearing up for the NCAA quarterfinals on Sunday. The Nittany Lions will take on Notre Dame. Oh, I gotta beat Notre Dame. That'll be a noon start on Sunday in Annapolis, Maryland. 4 Penn State lacrosse players have been named as All-Americans by Inside Lacrosse. Leading the way is freshman Hunter Aquino. He is a second-team All-American, and the freshman had 15 goals and 18 assists for 33 points so far this season. He was also named the Big Ten Freshman of the Year earlier this season. Matt Traynor, Alex Ross, and Kevin Parnum all recognized as honorable mention All-Americans by Inside Lacrosse yesterday. Penn State lacrosse goalie Jack Frassian has signed with the California Redwoods in the Premier Lacrosse League. That's a pretty cool
Redwoods.
Yeah, that's I like that. California Redwoods. The senior goalie for Penn State had 130 saves, has 130 saves so far this season. He also has 25 ground balls and has 6 caused turnovers. He has a .492 save percentage, and the captain already has secured a spot among the all-time best at the position for Penn State over these many years. And that, back to baseball for a second. A lot of speculation on Paul Skeens and what the Pirates may or may not do with him. It's the Pirates, so I don't rule anything out. But some pretty cool news earlier in the week that I don't think we mentioned. I know I didn't mention. I'm not sure if we got around to it at all in the stuff yesterday, but Skeens did commit to pitch for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic next year, the 2026 World Baseball Classic. That's a big deal because the Team USA has been struggling to get that clear first team starter, and Skeens would certainly fit that role. He is the second player to publicly announce his intention to play for Team USA next year, joining some fellow by the name of Aaron Judge from the New York, Yankees, it looks like is the team he's from. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah,
I wonder if
he's
any good. They've named him captain for some reason of the American squad. I wonder if he's doing anything this season. Let me just look at... Good God!
He's not
that
bad.
That can't be right. These numbers are ridiculous.
Yeah, well, yes, they are.
Team next year will be managed by former major leaguer Mark DeRosa. He will be coaching his second straight tournament course, Team USA, losing to Japan, in the 2023 championship game.
All right, let's take our break here because we have a guest coming up. Yep. I've got some sportsy stuff, too, but we'll save that for open line time later on.
Let's talk.
We'll continue right after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include WTAJ, Five Star Power Sports, Snyder's Concessions, Krep Service and Sales, Courthouse Pub, and Fullington Trailways.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Dotter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have an open phone hour in the final, second and final hour of today's big show.
Gosh, what will we talk about? Right, we have state senators on the warpath.
Nothing really out there to discuss.
We have airplanes, where they're still arguing about airplanes. We've got interesting sportsy stuff. We got plenty to talk about, so, and your calls, of course.
So alrighty then.
We'll do that in the next hour. Let's welcome back to our program Vicki Kepler-Dodato, who joined us about 6 weeks ago. Vicki, first off, good morning. Thanks for joining us again today.
Good morning, Jeff and Scott, and thank you for another opportunity. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Not too happy about this story. Now, 6 weeks ago, we talked with you about an historic barn down in the Rock Springs area, which I've probably driven past 1,000 times, going up and down that road and so on. And Scott here, I'm a history guy, and so when I first got wind of this story a couple of months ago, I thought, okay, I want to follow up on this. So, Vicki, first off, let's start from scratch for folks who have no idea what we're talking about. Maybe tell us briefly something about yourself, and then the Kepler Barn is how it's usually referred to. Tell us about the Kepler Barn and what's the issue. So give us some background again here, please.
Okay, I'll do my best. The Kepler Barn is, as you said, located right off Route 45, and if anyone is familiar with the area, it's the first barn you would see as you're headed toward, if you go to Ag Progress Days, which Penn State sponsors every year in August. So over 100,000 farmers from all over the country show up, and I'll put that on hold and come back to that. But at any rate, it's off that area. What makes the Kepler Barn so significant, and listeners probably already have connected, that's part of my name. So yes, I have a emotional connection to the barn, but I want to give its history, which to me should make it valuable to anyone in the area. Millie Kepler was my great aunt. She married my grandfather's brother, so that's the connection. And our farm, when I say our or my farm, that's meaning the farm I grew up on. My father was Don Kepler, and he was fairly well known in that area for a variety of things. He coached baseball at Penn State, was what was considered a survivalist. He taught the first Peace Corps volunteers there, actually on the Kepler property, and was hired under President Kennedy's administration. And Penn State was the first university in the country to actually teach a course on survival. So I could go on about that, but that's that connection. So the original Kepler farm would have been the farm I grew up on and my Aunt Millie's, and they were adjacent to each other. So I spent a lot of time growing up with four brothers. I spent a lot of time with Aunt Millie just to get away, I should say, as a little girl, from four brothers. So I would go back and forth. Aunt Millie taught me how to ride horses in that barn. She taught me so many things, as you can imagine, what just a farm does, the values it instills, the hard work ethic, etc. But mostly she taught me never, ever to give up and never to accept that because you're a girl, you can't do it. So that's my emotional attachment to that particular property. But the barn itself is on, as I said, the original, what's known as the original Kepler property. And Jacob Kepler, who would be my great-great-great-grandfather, was one of the first settlers in the entire Nittany Valley region. And he brought his family there in the late 1700s and was looking for farms and eventually bought several hundred acres in the Ferguson Township area, which became known as the Kepler Farms. So the barn, the actual barn, there's some dispute about when it was built, but if you drive by, you'll see the signs on both ends say 1818. Others think it was 1834, but regardless, Jeff and Scott, it's an old historic structure. Mm-hmm. And that alone worth preserving. But it's one of the largest bank barns, 19th century bank barns in the state. And last time I was on, just as an aside, Scott, I loved your story about the your connection to barns. So yes. Hopefully some of your readers or listeners will also share connections to the region, to farming. There's nothing like a farming community. So my background right now is that I have lived in Ohio for several decades. I met my husband and moved here. But I still call it home. I just have to say I go home a lot to State College and the area. But I think that's true for most people. Your heart is where your childhood was. But in Ohio, just to give you background, I'm a trauma therapist licensed in the state. And the reason I bring that up is one of the slides, when I went back and did the power presentation, the PowerPoint, one slide, I had 167 slides, mostly pictures of the history, the barn, Aunt Millie, the family lineage, etc. But the one slide that everybody remembered, and I've gotten emails, phone calls about it, was one that I thought at the last minute, you know, I want them to get to understand Millie as a person. I have that emotional connection with her, but unless you knew her, grew up in the area, people wouldn't. And I had the thought, and I had never thought of it, I was going to take her life, what little I knew of it, and put it in the perspective of what would a trauma therapist look at Aunt Millie's life and comment on. And so that's what I did, and I'm just going to share that, if that's okay, and then please move on to other details. So what people don't, frequently they'll read Millie was the mother, she and Aaron had three children, but they actually had four. So keep in mind, I just knew her as a little girl. But now, and through my profession, I sat down one night and I thought, I'm going to see what trauma Millie might have gone through. And one of the first ones was I knew that she had lost a child, not at birth. He lived for several months. So she lost her firstborn son, and his grave is in the Jingle Mill Cemetery. Never heard about it. Just one time I overheard my dad saying, later when Millie's husband died, that that wasn't her first great loss or something that Millie was used to loss. Hmm. And I never understood what that was. But the point being, she lost that child. The second loss, and these are what everyone knows about. Who knows what all the, I always call them the hidden losses in people's past. We all have them. But the second one that people in the area would know is that she was widowed at age 33 in 1929 when her husband Aaron died. And obviously that was a shock, a great loss, but the stories that come with that are what compound losses, that's the term we use. And shortly after he was actually buried, a group of local men showed up on her doorstep and offered to buy the barn, appearing to be sympathetic, I'll just say that. Now, obviously, I don't remember any of that. I overheard my dad talking about the story to my mom. But he said that Millie was so incensed that they hadn't even waited, for Aaron. I think his term was he wasn't even cold in the ground before they showed up and offered her, a very low sum of money to take the farm. And Aunt Millie threw them off the property. But not before she had said, now this is family lore, she had pointed to her son Aaron, who at that time was 12, and said, I will never sell this farm. This is my son's future, his inheritance. you know, his destiny. And they offered again up the price. And at that point, now again, whether this is true or not, but when I shared it at the fundraiser, people in the audience that knew Millie laughed and said, now they believe. But I said, maybe my dad was exaggerating, but at that point she threw them off, ran them off with a pitchfork. And you know, as I said, people in the audience laughed and said, yep, that she probably did. But the point I'm trying to make in all seriousness is, what a loss, what a trauma that was. But her comment to everything was, and they kept saying, what are you going to do, Millie? And her comment was always, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. And that is ingrained in me 50-some years later. That is, I live by that. What are you going to do? I don't know, but I'll figure it out. And that I got from Aunt Millie. So the next loss was that less than 2 years later, so Aunt Millie and her 12-year-old son Aaron literally took over the barn and the farm and made it and outproduced every male farmer in the area. That's what she was known for. And the bank showed up and foreclosed on the farm for $20,000. Now, when I was researching this story, I looked up what would $20,000 in 1929 be in today's standards, and it was $378,000. Well, here's the other backdrop to the story, so you get an idea of the type of person Aunt Millie was. It would have been almost two more decades till a female could get a loan from a bank legally. And I never even thought of that or knew that or understood. So I'm thinking, here's a woman with her back against the wall in every way, and how is she going to do it? And again, I don't know, but I'll figure it out. She and Aaron and hired hands and her two daughters paid that $20,000 loan off in 5 years, which is beyond unbelievable. And then at age 14, Millie and Aaron were walking across the road, and a car came around the curve. They were on their way to the barn to do chores very early in the morning. And a car came around, and my aunt saw her son, her remaining son, hit and run over by a car and killed. And enough, as if that isn't trauma enough, and I know, like I say, because of what I do for a living, I also know how trauma is recorded in the brain and how it stays in the body, et cetera. But not only did she lose a son, which would have been another deep loss, but she held him in her arms as he died, and she saw his death in front of her. Never talked about it that any of us know, really, till the day she died. But I can't imagine that lived with her. And so you just keep going on, and then you realize even more so what a remarkable woman not only she was, but what a remarkable feat she was able to accomplish just by keeping that barn and that farm and setting all the records that she did. She was termed Rosie the Riveter of the farm world by the United States Department of Agriculture during the war. State of Pennsylvania voted her agriculture queen in honor of her accomplishments. And I think you can tell, Jeff and Scott, I could go on and on, but Aunt Millie definitely was not just a role model for me, but for all female farmers particularly, and earned the respect of the male farmers, not just in that area, but in the state. So that's my homage, tribute to my Aunt Millie. And if they ask me anything else, I have lots of information.
That is a wonderful tribute and an amazing woman.
That's quite a story.
Yep.
I mean, holy mackerel. Now, I'll tell you what, Vicki, can you hold on? We're going to take a commercial break here so we can stay on our schedule, but we want to talk with you again, get an update on where things are, because right now, from what I understand, you've got some more long odds, apparently, staring at you. So if you would, just hold on the phone there, Vicki, for a few minutes. Folks, we got to take a break here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll return with more right after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, Five Star Mitsubishi, Wetzler Funeral Home, Sleep In and Comfort Suites, Carson Disposal, Best Line Power Sports, and WTAJ.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Panth.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, some open phone time coming up a bit later this very hour. All right, another segment with Vicki Kepler-Dodato talking about the historic Kepler Barn, which is down in the Rock Springs area, south of State College. Whatever the exact year is, we're talking about a 200-year-old barn. And, yeah, Vicki, when we had you on 6 weeks ago, I shared my barn story of sorts. The property that my wife and I own right now used to have a round barn on it, which unfortunately fell down about 40 years ago. So when it comes to barns, I'm a little bit of a soft spot there. So let's zoom forward now to today. All right, the barn is now owned by Penn State. It's on Penn State ground, Rock Springs, that whole area down there. The barn's been in some disrepair. Penn State has kind of thrown down the gauntlet, if you will, to you and others. Let's talk about that. What is the challenge involving the barn right now?
Okay. So for I believe that Penn State purchased the property in 2006, and not through the Kepler family. Other individuals had owned it. And since then, I'll just say this. It has been in a state of disrepair. Others kept it pristine, you know, up to standards, really took good care of it. There was a storm a few years after the time of the purchase in which parts of the barn blew off, and it was never repaired, and to this day isn't. So you can imagine what not just years, decades of rain does to a barn, and dampness and rot. So it is not in the best shape. However, we've worked on this for 5 years, working with architects, surveyors, I could go on and on, trying to get a cost, a way to preserve it. Last time I was on, we talked about the Amish. I've since been in touch with a group called Barnwood Builders, and they actually have their own TV show, and they not only repair and restore old barns, but if they can't be restored, they will dismantle it so that that barn, the best features of the barn, could live on in another barn, which, if it comes to that, I mean, I don't even want to think about the barn being demolished, but if it comes to that, obviously that's where my vote is, that at least they preserve the historic features of it so that someone else who appreciates the history, the possible connection to the Underground Railroad, all of it, that that could live on somewhere else. But in February, Penn State, after, you know, many, many years of Zoom calls, meetings, et cetera, I finally said, just, you know, call our bluff, basically. And so they did. In February, they gave us the go-ahead or permission from their end to go public. And so that's when we held the public fundraiser at the end of March. And they gave us 3 months from the time they notified us to raise $500,000. And that if we raised $500,000, they would stabilize the barn. So it is a daunting task, I believe, as you can imagine. And from the outset, people are saying, well, you know, are you crazy? What are you doing? But again, I go back to the story I shared before the break about my aunt, when people said, what are you going to do? And we all said, I don't know, but we'll figure it out. But this is something we've worked for so many years that finally, all I can say, Jeff and Scott, is we're going to give it our best shot, and that's what we're doing. So we've worked with Preservation PA to make a way for people. Excuse me, because when you donate, this is an unusual situation. We have a deadline. If we don't raise the money, then what happens to the money people have sent in? So we've worked it out so that people can donate, and if we don't meet the goal, they can get their money back minus a 5% handling fee through Preservation PA. But that way they can get a tax deductible donation. It's all covered and accounted for legally through the IRS, all of that. So we're very grateful that Preservation PA took that on with us in partnership. And I also want to thank the Historic Barn and Farm Foundation. I call them HBFF. They have been amazing through this whole thing. And their president, Priscilla De Leon, has been involved for years in her group. So it's not just a few people. There are many, many people in the Center County Historical Society, Marianne Sorensen. There's a lot of people. And the preservation in Pennsylvania that's connected with the Underground Railroad research, Randolph Harris. So we've got lots of people, I hate to say, cheering us on from the sidelines, but basically what we need is a barn, what we call a barn champion. And I know they're out there. We read all the time of particularly Penn State alumni that donate $5 million here, $10 million. I just got my Penn Stater magazine. It goes out to over 114,000 alumni. We're the largest in the world. And someone out there surely is looking for some place to donate. And so we're trying to focus on the Kepler Barn as a project very worthy, if you're a Penn State alum or if you're a farmer or a businessman, to help save this barn, and not just as a showpiece to drive by, but it could pay for itself. We've given Penn State a list of a multitude of uses for it, whether it's a museum, whether it could be hold farm equipment, agriculture equipment, their 4-H, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, all those things have approached us. It could be used, you know, for Grange to teach students. We've even looked at the departments of agriculture, preservation, architecture at Penn State, which all have degrees, that they could use it as a teaching facility for their interns, you know, put them on the research for the Underground Railroad, the Department of History. So there are a lot of creative ideas that we have. But I want to go back to one thing in my research was that, and most people may know this, but when the Kepler family came in the late 1700s, they formed the first pioneer settlement in 1801, long before there was a Penn State or a state college or really any town in the area. And that was well over 50 years before, in 1855, Penn State was founded as the first land-grant agricultural institution in the state. And their motto at the time was making life better, and they had a seal. The Penn State seal has the words on it that say virtue, liberty, and independence. And I love that motto, the significance of it, but I'm using that to appeal to the community and to say, well, what better way do farms make life better for everyone in the region? And they do provide liberty and independence, virtue, you know, with all that as your backdrop. Personally, and I am a Penn Stater and a very loyal and proud one, and I want to make that clear. But having said that, I personally cannot understand why the university would not back this project with their origins and showcase it for farmers everywhere. And the last thing, I know you were being so generous with your time, but I did want to mention about the Underground Railroad connection, and there's a lot I could say. We probably don't have the time, but one of the amazing things is articles have gone out and broadcasts like this. I'm hearing from people all over the country that are sending me in wonderful just tidbits of information, but one was some articles about, and I think he's a distant cousin. I can't figure out exactly. I know we're related. We come from the same great-great-great-grandfather. But Aaron Kepler, who was born and lived on that farm, and my own father, in fact, was born in that farmhouse in 1909 when it was a log cabin. And that's the house in the barn across the road where they believed the slaves were hidden until they could either be taken over the mountain to Huntington or to Pine Grove Mills. And again, that's another story. But we're able to locate a memoir of Aaron Conrad Kepler, and the documents that he fought for the Union under General George McClellan, and actually fought during the Civil War in the 7-day battle near Richmond, and where he was severely wounded. A bullet tore all the way through his right leg, and he was left for dead on the battlefield. I'm reading the article. He laid there Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, all day Sunday through Monday, and when finally Confederate soldiers found him alive and took him prisoner. He was held prisoner in Virginia 23 straight days with no medical aid, and then was finally released through an exchange. Well, Aaron's grandfather was Jacob Kepler, who came to the region. So later, in his own memoir, which was located, he talked about fighting at the Battle of Cold Harbor, Virginia, which I looked up, and that was May 31st, 1864 to June 12th, 1964, which means he went back into war after being released as a prisoner. But in that memoir, he writes, "I am returning to the Kepler Farm, and I am bringing people with me. Hmm. And again, that is not proof, but of all the stories my brothers and I grew up with, and I have actually played in the hidden tunnels in the Kepler farmhouse. My brother was in the ones, the secret ones that are actually in the barn. And I wish we had more time, but I could go on and tell you my stories as a little girl. Of course, I didn't know about the Civil War. I didn't know about slaves. To me, it was just a fun place where I could hide, get away from my cousins and, you know, that kind of thing. But when my aunt, when Aunt Millie found me the one day, that is the firmest and scared, most scared I ever was of her. And she never explained. She just said, don't you ever, ever go in here again. And I could tell she was upset, but now as a mother and a grandmother, I realized she was more frightened that I could have fallen down through the through the tunnels and been injured. But but that made an impact on me, and I never went into that wall again.
All right. Now, Vicki, how much money have you raised so far?
We don't have exact numbers, but I know it's less than 50,000, so we're not even at 10%. But what I love about that is when you think of that, but that is local people, $50 here, $100 there, $500. There were two or three or four people that sent in $1,000. That actually blesses us in some ways more than, I mean, we need the big money. But my point is, it's a lot of people who have sent in what they could afford.
Yeah.
But obviously, if we'd had 5 years, Scott, maybe we could have gotten to 500,000, but we have less than 3 months. So what we really need is a barn champion.
Now, what deadline has Penn State given you again?
They gave us until June 1st. We are asking for it to be extended past Ag Progress Days, which is mid-August, because over 100,000 people will be driving by the barn.
Yeah.
We've also asked for them to put up a sign, which they originally verbally said yes to, but it has not been put up as of yesterday, I know. At any rate, That it would get a lot of attention if we could just have it extended past Ag Progress Days. So I know it's a big task,
I mean, folks, some common sense here. First off, Penn State, you know as well as I do, it doesn't cost $500,000 to fix up a barn. Okay, that's the part of the story, Vicki, that I get maybe angers me the most. I know that's not the case. Now, I mentioned when we had you on before, I live out in Amish country. Amish mm-hmm. carpenters and barns are like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, it's like they go together. I bet if you said like $60,000, I bet if you gave Amish $60,000, they'd fix up that barn just fine. Have you pursued that at all or asked anybody about that?
We have. When I say we, that involves a lot of us working on this. I'm from Ohio, which is high Amish. The county next door to me is one of the largest Amish settlements. I've been in touch with people here who are willing to actually, the Amish, and when they say drive, they don't drive. They can be driven, but they were actually going to take their buggies and their I don't even know how they do it, but they are willing to do that from here. Then the people that are working on it, Pennsylvania, I think 2 years ago, actually got in touch with a group of Amish over in the Huntington area. And the point being, they were willing to do it for free. And we did approach Penn State with that and let them know that. What we were told, I'm not sure I understand, but I understand it's a legal issue. I understand there's liability. They would have to sign waivers, et cetera. But because of union wages or whatever contracts Penn State has as a university, I know that they have legal ramifications that they have to follow. And that was not, for whatever reason, that could not be done. And yes, it's heartbreaking, more than heartbreaking when you realize that there are, it wouldn't take them 6 months to a year. They would do it fast and do it well.
All right, to wrap up here, Vicki, if somebody just heard this story, maybe for the first time, and they somehow want to donate, they want to be a part of this, how do they do that? Give folks some ideas on how they can assist.
Okay, there are two ways, and I'm going to give you both. I'm going to read it. Preservation Pennsylvania is the group that is working with the money or putting it in reserve. And their address, I'm going to read, you can go online or you can mail it. So the mailing address is 1230 North 3rd Street, Suite 1, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17102. And I'll read it again. 1230 North 3rd Street, Suite 1, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17102. And that organization is Preservation Pennsylvania. And they have a website. So I would assume they can just go to Preservation Pennsylvania's website, look for, they have many, many projects. So you might have to scroll through or look for the Kepler Barn. There is also a Facebook page called Save the Kepler Barn that has articles. We'll have Preservation link to the website. So that might be an easier route for some folks, but on Facebook, Save the Kepler Barn. And if anyone has any questions, wants to get in touch with me, they can feel free to contact me via email. It's D-O-T-K, so .K, D-O-T-K-7 at AOL.com, and I'd be glad to talk with them. So I cannot, again, tell you how much I appreciate your generosity with your airtime. And thank you so much. But the days are counting down, about 2 weeks from now.
Unless
an extension. Yes.
I tell you what, I'm looking at the website, preservationpa.org, and right pretty much near the top it says, Help Save the Kepler Barn, and there's a link there to learn more. All right?
Okay, well,
so, you know, most folks navigate the internet anymore. So, preservationpa.org, just, you probably don't even have to scroll down. It's right there. Help Save the Kepler Barn. And there's a Learn More link. So, if you want to get some more information there. Vicki, we've got to take a break and move on. But I tell you what, thank you again for your time.
Very much.
You got two guys definitely behind you here. Please keep me up to date on progress, especially with this potential looming deadline here in about 2 weeks.
Thank you, Jeff and Scott, so much, and your listeners.
Thank you. All right, we got to take a break. We're off schedule here, which is normal for us.
Yeah, that's
normal. We'll come back.
Just us being us.
We'll come back. We have some open time if you want to chime in on this and so on. I've got a thought or two here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
Center Communications, Inc., Five Star Chrysler, Rick Snyder's Concessions, PAMP, Premier Garage, and Clearwater Pool.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Bellefonte cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher, Colley, and Guy Gadowski. Three Mark in the Park nights, E-L-G-S-E-S night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
And we are back. Just like that. It's magic, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jeff and Scott. It's Let's Talk. It is a Thursday morning, and it is open phone time, where we hand the airwaves, if you so choose, over to you. You can give us a ring at 814-954-7266.
Controversies everywhere you look. North, south, east, and west.
Holy, I didn't think there were any.
Mackerel.
Everybody's all getting along. We all agree on everything.
What a wonderful world.
Is that not?
That would be.
That was what's happening.
Don't think so.
Huh.
Again, it doesn't cost $500,000 to fix up a barn. It just doesn't. And we all know that. So, I mean, if the Penn State brass are listening, and we know they're listening, all right, we don't brag or anything, we know they're listening, find a way to get this done.
I also find it hard to believe that if you went to the union and said, listen, this is the circumstance we have. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they would resist. I get rules are rules. I also think there are times we can possibly make an exception. Now, if the union comes back and says, nope, this seems like, come on. You have people willing to do this for free. Let them do it.
All right, let's take our call here.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Back at you, Jeff. You just stole my thunder. Only Penn State University could turn down free help.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I understand as much as I can, I guess. I mean, I understand the whole, there's agreements in place and, you know, Penn State employees and all of that. Again, I just find it hard to believe that you couldn't go. It's not like you're, to me, there's enough other work that needs to be done. And maybe I'm wrong on this. I just find it hard to believe that if the, I don't even know who it is that has to go, if this is the board or the administration or the
College of Agriculture.
The dean there or whatever. But that if you just went and said to, I'm assuming it's the Office of Physical Plant, but whatever, wherever you need to go to and said, hey, guys, we know we have this agreement. You have to do all of the work on campus. Is it possible we can have you vote and make an exception here? And again, if they come back and say no, I guess you got to live with it. I find it hard to believe that in this one given incident, that they wouldn't say, okay, I don't know, maybe they'd be afraid of setting a precedent. I think you can say this is a one-time thing,
yes.
And maybe there is another one-time thing that comes up somewhere down the line, and you can vote differently. Like I don't know. That just seems to me like it would be fairly easy.
If I were the powers that be involved in trying to save this, and I know Vicky from, I'm 99% sure it's the same Vicky Kepler I knew from high school 57 years ago. But yeah, back, it's just say, yeah, just not data. I think it was actually, I wasn't 55. Did I say 55? I meant 5 point. I meant 5.5.
Oh, we know what you meant.
Okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, my retort would be, okay, let's assume that Penn State's gonna, you know, if you're insisting that this needs to be done through the union and so on and so forth, bring me your 25 union guys out there that know anything at all about salvaging this barn. I would be willing to bet you there might be one guy that fell off the potato wagon in 1964 that might know something. But there'll be nobody else that knows anything at all about the structure of that barn. And so, you know, I've lived here my whole life, Jeff, and it makes my blood boil when you see things like, you know, we're always worried about the cost of things or this or that and the other thing. And I've actually subcontracted some work on campus. But the reason I was able to is because they had limits, dollar limits, which is fine. And they've increased over the years, but not to that extent, of course. And it basically it's an admission of we're paying late with all the legacy stuff, retirement, sick days, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, a friend of mine who's since retired from there was an underground facilities engineer. He told me 6-8 years ago that we may live to see the day when 90% of the work is going to be done subcontracted off campus for that reason. It's just too expensive to do it in-house.
There's got to be a way. There simply
has to be a way.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for Vicky. I mean, I know her. She's a great person. I have not seen her face to face in that 5.5 years, to the best of my knowledge. But you know, this obviously is an unusual circumstance. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm with you. There's got to be a way to get around this that satisfies everybody. And
yeah.
You know, they'll bring 2.5 Amish people with 3 kids and a mom and a dad. They'll do it in 7 days. Penn State be there for 7 years.
Might be roughly accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, have a good day. I hope we get this resolved. All
right. Yeah, I do. Thanks too. I really do.
I've got a bias. I'm a history nut, and this barn is history. Multiple layers of history. Again, Vicky talked about the Underground Railroad tie-in. Like, holy smokes, that's usually kind of big. All right. But just the age, you know, right on the side of the barn, there's like a sign or something. It says 1818. Now, again, Vicky mentioned, is that accurate? Is it actually 1830-something? Doesn't matter. This is a 200-year-old barn. How many 200-year-old barns are standing out there? The list is extremely short. I mean anywhere, not just here, anywhere. The list is really short. Now, again, Penn State Brass, if you're listening, you've got a full plate of issues, which we'll probably touch on here in a little bit. Branch campuses and all this other stuff. Here's one you could solve, and it wouldn't be that difficult to do. And it's on your ground. Tie it in with Rock Springs. Tie it in with Ag Progress Days. You've got people apparently willing to fix up the barn. They're willing to do it. I have a hard time with the free part. There's got to be some expenses, obviously. All right, some new wood or nails or something. All right, your new roofing. There's got to be some expenses. But you got some people willing to do the job. And, I mean, can you imagine if that barn would get torn down, Penn State? Can you imagine the blowback you would get? If that barn just came down, can you imagine? I've got to think you guys, you're smart. You've got letters after your name and all this other stuff. You're smart enough to realize that would be really bad for the university. So why would you allow that to happen? Instead of a June 1 deadline and all this other stuff, how about some cooperation? Because enough people in the community are saying, no, this is history here. This predates Penn State, for goodness sakes, by, what, 20, 30, whatever years. Why would you allow that to happen when it doesn't have to happen? All right, I'm kind of passionate on history. Why are we even having this conversation? Why are we having people cooperating to find a way to fix up this barn and turn it into something, like Vicky said, either a tourist attraction or a working space or a training space or something like that? Again, it's literally, essentially, right across the road from where people go to Ag Progress Days every year. And you got all those other agricultural buildings and things around there. Come on. You can hear the frustration in my voice. The answer is right in front of us. And some other folks are just not seeing it. Okay, I'll hand it off to you. I'm actually angry now. I'm really angry now. All right? I have a property that used to hold a round barn. Now, round barns are rather historic, but unfortunately that barn fell down about 40 years ago before my wife and I bought the property. No way we were going to fix it up. It was an absolute pile, all right, back then. But I've kept some basic elements of that round barn because I don't want them to be forgotten. So we've got the round foundation. We've got the original milk house and trough we got right there. You know, one or two other things. Had to clear out the rest of the ground just for safety's sake. But there's no way I'm tearing out that round foundation because that's history. A lot of us recognize history. Penn State, why can't you? And I'm being a little unfair. I'm sure there are people at Penn State, they'd like to save the barn. I mean, it's like, come on, it's history. Yes. Unfortunately, there's apparently some other people who don't care. What do we have to do to twist their arms to say, come on, we've got solutions to fix up this barn. Let's do it. All right, you take over.
Yeah. No, and I think it could be, I think you could make it into a money maker. I think there are some things you could do with it where, you know, not enough money to cover the costs and to assure the upkeep and all of that. But I think, you know, either, yeah, you could almost make it like a Penn State Agricultural History Museum of sorts, or you could rent it out for, you know, Penn State has other venues that they use for weddings and bar mitzvahs and those sorts of things. This would be a wonderful opportunity to add another piece of land where you could do that. It does not feel like there has been much time spent here really trying to figure out a good solution that would satisfy everybody. And I think there's multiple ways you could go about that here. I really do. So,
all right, we're going to take a break here. We'll have one more segment. I tell you what, if somebody at Old Main's listening and you're like, no, you guys don't understand some of this other stuff, fine, we'd love to hear from you. We have a phone line. You can contact us. We'll have you on the program. You can give us the backstory on the other side. We would love to hear it, but we haven't. So that makes me wonder. Okay, if there's something about this that we just don't know about, well, then it's time to spill the beans. If not, how about it's time to cooperate and do something to save some local history? Ugh. All right, let's take a break. We'll have one more segment. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.
Let's talk here on a Thursday, a final segment. Again, phone line is open at 814-954-7266. Center Gives continuing until 8 o'clock tonight. They'll have the big wrap-up event at the Rivet in Belfont, and that'll be, I believe it starts at 5 to 8,
yes.
This evening. We are over 2 million now, 2,164,475, and we have 10,688 individual donations to this point. So
very good.
Keep it up. And again, I'll plug the Jana Marie Foundation once again, because they keep all of their programs free for kiddos throughout the area. We're heading into the busy time of the year. Not that there's a non-busy time, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Again, they'll have Jam Fest on Saturday from noon to 5 on Fraser Street downtown between College and Beaver. Again, that's noon to 5. Everything is free, open to the public there. Great music. There's fun games, activities, food, all available. And you can learn a little bit more about the foundation while you're there. And again, Monday night is the big comedy night. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun at Axeman Brewery. You can go to JanaMarieFoundation.org to get details on all of the upcoming events. We head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Great show, and I'm a big supporter of the Ronald McDonald House, and that foundation is incredible. I think even if the parents are Democrats, help the children, because they can't help themselves.
Fair enough.
Come on, you were doing really well, then you throw that in.
I think it's a good point. Even the Democrats, kids,
come on,
deserve a handout.
You're
absolutely right.
Now, on the barn, I think the reason why this is even under discussion, and I would always teach my girls the truth after they were brainwashed by the government schools that my wife compelled them to go to, because, you know, you can't fight your wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you take them to places like... The problem is, there's no picture painting. And let me give you an example. I think I've mentioned this before. In sixth grade, this is where I had my epiphany. First day of history class, Mr. Rudisaw, I'll never forget his name, and I only remember the name of two teachers, jumped up on the desk, dressed as a soldier, and said, "You have rights." wow. And then he talked about the Magna Carta of 1215, and it was so interesting and intriguing. I don't think that's done today. Like, if I were to ask you guys, and it's no fault of your own, because we may have mentioned it, who were the fair play guys? You probably wouldn't know. But the fair play guys originated from Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. There's still a marker there in the Methodist Church where a group of them got together to march on Philadelphia just prior to the Revolution to overthrow the Continental Congress. They were going to overthrow the Continental Congress. And then the British. And the Continental Congress finally said, okay, we better draft this declaration really quick and get to it, because the word was being released to Philadelphians that these people were marching on Philly. Now, we don't paint pictures like that. So history doesn't mean anything. They're just dates and numbers. I think that's the problem, especially in the government schools, where they just have you regurgitate dates and numbers. Let me give an example. The British are coming. The British are coming. Well, first of all, Paul Revere never made that ride. He was in jail. It was a nameless guy that made it, and he said the regulars are coming, not the British. And when you teach that story, you know, why not have your class dress up as the British or the regulars and the Minutemen and paint pictures to make history important. You see, to most people, and I've seen history be destroyed being from Philadelphia and outside of Philly, where there's lots of history, over and over and over again in the name of progress. I hate that word. If you don't make it important to the children, they're not going to care as adults. It's just a barn. Who cares? Make it important.
Caller, this is a rare moment that I'm in agree with you. All right, yes. If I were a teacher, which I've sort of done in the past, I would either teach media, obviously, is what I know, or history. And now I would tell you, I worked with schools in my old job for 25 years, and there are some history teachers in public schools that do some of the stuff that you just described. They're out there. Now, all of them? No, of course not. That's why most kids, history, they groan because it's kind of dry and boring. But there are some teachers out there that go above and beyond to do what you described. They're out.
Oh, I think
they're
teachers
still
are
out
great.
There.
I think teachers are great, Scott. It's not them. It's the system is the problem. To be a teacher, you have to love kids and really have to want to educate. And they've been stifled over the years by the bureaucracy. That's the problem. But, you know, make me excited about that barn. You know, find out a little bit of history about it. Find out something important about it. And then invite people to it to experience it live. You'll save the barn.
It would make
Paint pictures.
That would make an interesting field trip. Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
I agree. That would make a very interesting field trip.
You know, when I used to work in radio years ago, I would always bring the sales reps, and there could be 6, 7, 8 from big companies, to the transmitter site. And the management would go, what are you, crazy? Why are you doing this? Because I want them to visualize what it takes to get that signal to that radio, how complicated it is, how important it is, where it stands, all the moving elements of it so they can properly articulate it to a client quickly to understand how that communication works. And you know what? They all groaned until afterwards. I said, I didn't realize that. Always paint pictures and do it for the barn.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, all right.
Appreciate your call.
Appreciate
him. Right.
Yep.
Thanks very much. He's right. You know, the best teachers, that's what they do. They, if you will, turn something into a story, paint pictures, as he said, and so on. My experience, there are a ton of teachers out there. That's exactly what they do. Now, he's talking about the system. Okay. all right, whatever. He doesn't like the public school system. Not the people, the system.
Yeah.
I'll admit, there's a time or two where I'm scratching my head like, what the? Again, the U.S. Department of Education, Trump and company, want to dismantle it. Scott, here personally, I don't have a problem with that. All right, they don't need another layer of bureaucracy on top of the State Department of Education and your local Department of Education, in other words, your school board and your administration, stuff like that. They just don't need another layer of bureaucracy from Washington. I don't think that solves and helps anything. Now, I just made somebody angry there. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Well, believe it. This isn't just about, you know, grants and money. This is more about what comes from on high. All I've got to do is point at No Child Left Behind. All right? Remember that from, what, 20 years ago? Oh, that was supposed to be so wonderful. No Child Left Behind. I mean, it's got a great name, and it's going to lift education. No, it hasn't done any of those things. All right? And if anything, it was more of a burden on schools than a help. You know, now it became, and you talk to any teachers out there, public school teachers I'm talking about, and you just kind of mention teach to the test, and you'll get eye rolls like, oh, yeah, I've had to do that. They have to give up weeks of instruction time to prepare kids to take a test. Now, is that learning? No, it isn't learning at all. It really isn't. And we're not talking days. We're talking weeks to get ready. Well, imagine what they could have done with those weeks with just real, honest, genuine education. They could have done a lot of teachers in science and math and English and so on. There's a lot of great things they could have done. No, they have to prepare for this test from Washington or the Keystones, you know, the Pennsylvania version and stuff like that. Ugh, no. So I'll agree with our caller there. On some things, at least. All right, that's as far as I go.
I think he'll take it.
All right, we have a couple minutes. 814-954-7266. Tomorrow, Friday, we almost always have an open line program on Friday, so you can chime in there. Today is the day the Penn State Board of Trustees is supposed to meet online in an executive session, meaning not public, to talk about this proposal from Old Main to close down up to 7 branch campuses around the state. Now, are we going to have any kind of reporting on that? Maybe not, because again, it's a secret meeting. It's on executive session. Oh, now watch your news sources, you know, because again, somebody leaked on Monday. So could that happen again? Wouldn't surprise me, all right? Again, you've got different factions and different opinions and so on. I mean, our friend Jay Paterno and I disagree, I think, on this. All right, now I follow Jay on Twitter, X, where he posts. Jay is an elected trustee, not one of the appointed ones. He's one of the elected ones. And he wants to apparently keep all campuses open. 24 of them, like, or 20, talk about all of them, 24, 25 of them. Personally, I think Penn State is stretched too thin, and they should close several of these campuses because the numbers are declining. They're bleeding dollars, if you will. They really are, these particular campuses. And in a lot of cases, there's another campus. I actually did some tracking yesterday. All right, I'm originally from York County. Penn State York is 34 miles away from Penn State Harrisburg. That's it.
Yeah.
And Penn State Harrisburg is a much bigger operation. Penn State Wilkes-Barre is 31 miles away from Penn State Scranton. And Penn State Scranton, again, is bigger. Okay? So it's not like if you're in those particular areas, there's no Penn State campus you can go to. There is. It's right over here. All right, you got to drive a little bit. And these other ones mostly have housing. All right, so you don't have to commute and all that sort of stuff. I'm in agreement with Old Main. I think now 7, all right, this is where the argument's going to be. All 7, 5 of 7, 4 of 7. Stay tuned to your news outlets. We'll see if there's coverage.
I am working to open and then defend staying open the Penn State Honolulu campus. And I would like a faculty position there.
Way out there.
Well, I just
didn't know they had that.
Thought.
Wow,
just a thought that I had.
No, we're all done.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.